Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Rise, O children, from your sleep. Your Savior now has come. He has turned your sorrows to joy and filled your soul with song. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Let your song be sung from mountains high. Sing a new to the Lord. Let your song be rung. Singing alleluia. Give me the chord now and I'll sing it with you. Yes, glad my soul, for I have seen the glory of the Lord. The trumpet sounds, the dead shall be raised. I know my Savior lives. Sing the refrain with me. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Let your song be sung from mountains high. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Sing alleluia. That's our hymn for the day. But if you notice, it's Psalm 96, which we just said today. It is a wonderful hymn. You know, this is quote-unquote for contemporary worship. This was written in 1967. I don't know about you, but 50 years sounds like a little long for contemporary worship. But there was a group out of St. Louis at this time period, and it's funny how things work, because they were called the St. Louis Jesuits. Okay? Bunch of Jesuit priests. And they got together and started writing contemporary music for the church. You know, Lord of the Dance, we've done in here. We've done this one before. There's two or three others. Those are all out of that songbook the St. Louis Jesuits did. But the thing that was interesting is they used to do things with the seminary in St. Louis. You know, so here we have Jesuit Catholic priests working with Lutheran students. You know, it can work. It can happen, you know, sometimes. But I like these two verses, because in Psalm 96, I don't know how many times when I was a kid I had my pastor tell me, the Old Testament is law, the New Testament is gospel. Well, here we have a psalm talking about salvation. I don't know about you, but that sounds like gospel to me. And it is. Okay, one of the strongest statements of the gospel in the Old Testament is right here. Well, I wasn't going to say your name, but I'm going to say your name. Doug and I were talking yesterday about the concept of quote-unquote mega churches and how they've lost what Christianity is. You know, and it's sad, too. You know, in big cities, Christianity's become a mega religion. Many times these churches have thousands of members. King & King's Lutheran Church in Omaha, because they were in the same circuit that we were at Trinity. And it was one of those things, we looked at the giving, and the giving averaged in that church to $1,500 a family a year. Well, you start taking a look at it, and when I was at the seminary, we got talking about giving, okay? And I happen to mention that this church was pulling in 12,000 to 15,000 people on a Sunday. And a couple of guys said, no, it doesn't. It's only got 1,500 members. And I said, folks, they meet in an old computer plant, and they worship 15,000 people on a Sunday. I said, where else are you going to get $1,500 per family average? And stop and think about that for a second. But a mega church like that, Peggy went out there when she had moved to Omaha, and she said after the first service, she said, I went out and looked at the sign outside, and she said, yeah, it did say Lutheran. But she said it was not a Lutheran church I've ever been to before. Well, what do we lose in a church like this. Why is Paul so adamant? I wish I could, my knee would let me do this, but it won't. Why is Paul so adamant about getting together in worship? Why does he tell us you need to go to church? Well, in Greek, the word that he operates and he mentions 17 times in the Bible is koinonia. Okay? Well, what does koinonia mean? Well, one of the things that I've learned is that the Gospel of Mark is all about koinonia. How many times are you going out on a Saturday night, had a lot of fun, maybe danced too much, drank a little bit too much, ate too much? Come Sunday morning, you're sitting there and say, oh, I just don't feel like going to church today. And so you don't. Of course, I'm talking to the choir because you're all sitting here, you know. But you know what happens about that is, you know, are we serving God? You know, I've also tried to do that, but Peggy keeps reminding me that I can't because I'm the pastor. I have to be here. Well, so what does this quote-unquote fellowship or koinonia actually mean? Koinonia is the Greek word for fellowship. Now, here's where I find it gets interesting. It refers to community, one's place in a group, and the representation of fellowship such as a joint gift. Now stop and think about that. Fellowship is a gift from God. It's one that we join in and we celebrate together. Well, that concept of koinonia is important because it is supposed to characterize the church and characterize the Christian religion. Now, here's the thing I find interesting. The Greek that we use in the New Testament is called Koine Greek. Koinonia, koine. Sounds familiar? They both come from the same root word. So we have fellowship in this Greek. So it's the fellowship we have in Greek, is this version. And it's biblical Greek. Now stop and think about that. Why, if this is so important, would it actually have the word for the type of language that we speak as fellowship? Pastor Don, did you ever run across this?
Often.
You know, and it's one of those things that's so important. Yes?
What I used to tell people when they say they have fellowship, not the church.
No. And I agree with you on that. You know, since we are talking about this a little bit, you remember why this is up there? Okay? That's your commitment to God. And normally what we do is we pull it down at Pentecost and burn it, and those are our ashes for Ash Wednesday, which we haven't done this year because it was during COVID and that kind of thing. So I just left it up there because, as you notice, there's a lot more envelopes up there than we have people in church right now. And part of the thing is, when we do that, I don't care how much you give. That's between you and God. It's not man. I've been in some churches where you had to turn it in and then they made a budget for that. But no, you know, that's part of our commitment as a group to God. Doug, you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Just to comment on one of your statements there.